Last week, the Czech National Museum launched a new exhibition called New Czech Fables or New Czech Myths at the Kinsky Summer Palace, located near Prague's Betřín Hill. The show examines urban legends, sayings, social rituals and counterculture movements in the former Czechoslovakia, as well as present-day Czech Republic. In this week's Arts, Jan Wellinger takes a closer look.
The idea of mapping folklore in the atomic age as the exhibition is built is not something necessarily new, but nevertheless is fairly unusual in a Czech context where more often than not folklore, traditional beliefs and customs, is something associated more with the 19th century, or even before that. Nové povědky české, new Czech fables or new myths, steps away from that, looking at beliefs and customs that were important today or just recently, looking at a number of topics key in Czechoslovakia and the Czech Republic. Among areas of life examined are children's toys and games, homemade or naive art, subcultures like the Czech punk and heavy metal movements, the culture of tramping, and secret behavior by conscripts in Czechoslovakia's communist army. Much of contemporary folklore from this time was a reaction to the communist period and could be described not only as a creative outlet, but even in some cases as rebellious. We look first at compulsory service, the National Museum's Petr Janeček.
They just counted every single day. People here really disliked to join the army. It represents the oppressive force of the regime, of the communist regime. People hate to be there, and they have to be there like 2 years in 70s and 60s.
To count the days, it became widespread for new conscripts to manufacture an item similar to a tailor's meter, with links that were torn off for each day spent in service. A number of the items can be seen behind the glass at New Czech Fables, although, by their very nature, most ended up lost or destroyed. Petr Janeček again.
Every evening they just strip off this one single day, and they made tremendous things with these meters. They painted it, they wore it in the uniform. It was forbidden because the army officers really hated this folklore, this symbolic use of this meter. So they just hide it in the uniform. It was really important. Every male in the Czech culture who was in the army in the last 50 years will tell you endless stories about these things. It's really, really important, and it's really hard to get these things to the exhibition and to the museum. They usually left the last 7 parts of the meter, which they painted. They painted symbols of freedom, for example, like Statue of Liberty or U.S. flag to the meter during the communist time. It was like even this was some kind of resistance.
Within the army, too, was a kind of secret hierarchy among conscripts. Newly enlisted were often referred to by nicknames and were often hazed and had to be subservient to the second years, who enforced all manner of unpleasant rituals upon them. Those were widespread in compulsory service, although they were officially denied.
Guys or people who are not so long in the public service have to, for example, give food and drinks for free. But it was really widely accepted because these people, they were submissive against the older ones, but they have some privileges too. These older guys who were old for a longer time in the army protected these younger guys against the officers. So it was some kind of solidarity even in this kind of counterculture.
That's interesting because I always assumed that it was actually a hate relationship where the new guys would hate whoever was forcing them to do whatever ritual.
It was really complicated because when you join the army, you have basically a decision. You will follow the official officers and you will have like tough 2 years, or you will follow these unofficial rules. You will have some tough moments, really, if these guys were like bad guys. But basically it was better, this unofficial system. It was something comparable to, how to say it, gray market economy. Mm-hmm. It was some alternative way how to run an institution.
Alternatives as a whole were often limited under the communist regime, which with its planned economy was often incapable of meeting consumer needs, even something as simple as children's toys or games. The need for something different was further fueled by a fascination with material goods from the West, very difficult if not impossible to obtain. And for that reason, creativity flourished in some homes. Some people attempted to do their own home decorating, producing naive art or decorative items, while children drew their own versions of popular board games, something that has since declined. Petr Janeček again.
For example, a tabletop game called Monopoly. It was very popular in the former Czechoslovakia or Czech lands in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, but you cannot basically buy it by any means. Only if you have like some relatives in the Western countries, like in Western Germany or in the US, they can send it to you, but it was really unavailable. So people or children made their own copies of Monopoly, handmade copies. It's really interesting. They even made some variations because they don't remember exactly how the game looked like. So they started to like start again from the scratch. And we have like few examples of these homemade games, homemade copies of mass-produced games in our exhibition.
Do you think that this is something that has ceased to exist today, obviously, with the free market, open borders and all of that?
Not absolutely. We are showing, like, for example, the children today and kids today are influenced by the computer games. So these games look now like, for example, Doom or other first-person shooters. This imagery, this mythology is influenced by these computer games, by some role-playing games or fantasy and science fiction stuff. So kids are still creative, but not as much as before, but these phenomena still exist.
One final aspect of the show at the Kinski Summer Palace, which is fairly modest given the richness of its themes, is the Czech tradition of tramping, which emulates the American Wild West.
Czech tramping, or it's very different to call it in English. It's trampování, these people are trampové, tramps, but they are not tramps like in the US sense of word. We call it Czech tramps. Basically, they were guys who started in the Boy Scout movement during the First World War, and they started to dislike the scouting movement, these formal rules, these uniforms, this like army-like behavior, and they started just to wandering to woods and started to emulate Western movies of the 20s or 30s, these cowboys and this kind of stuff. It was very popular in the First Republic, in the Czechoslovakia, between the wars. But it has more levels or more sources connected to it. One is like a Boy Scout movement. They were during the First Republic, these tramps or Czech tramps were called Wild Scouts. They were, because they were not organized, and they were really hated by the official Boy Scout movement, because it was no institution. They were just guys who went to the woods, make some camp. They dressed like cowboys from the US
or Native Indians.
Native Indians, yeah. Because it wasn't just the Boy Scout movement. It was also, they were really influenced by the woodcraft, by E.T. Seton, by these ideas of living with nature and these things. So it was like the Boy Scouts, it was the E.T. Seton and woodcraft, and these Hollywood movies and these novels about the Wild West.
Given that Czechs under communism were only rarely able to travel abroad, trapping was fairly popular, as was chalupatení, cottaging at the weekends, a small form of escape, another subculture, a small respite from life under the totalitarian regime. Children's toys, military service, as well as urban myths and other aspects could all be the basis for large individual shows in themselves. In fact, tramping will be the focus of an individual show in the future by the National Museum. For now, visitors can see new Czech fables, a pleasant walk across the Kinski Garden, and especially worthy if combined with the permanent installation. On its own, Czech Fables is not a huge show, but the ideas it explores and provokes are undeniably rich.
That edition of The Arts was by Jan Wellinger and